We'll continue talking about discipleship this morning. This is our final lesson in our series about discipleship. And this morning, what we want to look at and talk about is this idea of going. I appreciated Daryl's thought at our communion time as he talked about the importance of going. One thing that we'll see as we work through our message this morning is that inherent in the life of discipleship is going. We take the message to others. Why are you here today? Another way of asking that question, maybe, and maybe more to the point, is what people in your life have influenced your faith? You might think of your parents. That would be obvious. Grandparents, of course. Maybe there are friends of yours. At some point, someone shared the gospel with you, and you might have just learned about it growing up in your home. It may have been a neighbor or a friend who shared the message with you. Some way, somehow, the message got across to you, and the way in which Jesus has called for the word of the gospel to come across to people is relationally, through interaction with others. There was a woman named Mrs. Meyerholtz, Toledo, Ohio, around 1956 or 1957. She invited three kids to come to Bible school with her. The kids at that point were all under the age of 10. They were neighbors. So Mrs. Meyerholtz asked the parents, would it be okay if these children would go to Bible class with me sometime? We have a great Sunday school program at our church. The parents hesitated at first, but after a few weeks, they decided to let their children go to the East Side Church. Several years later, those children who had gotten their first interaction with church because of the invitation of Mrs. Meyerholtz were baptized into Christ. One of those kids was my dad. And so Mrs. Meyerholtz, this sweet little lady who decided that she was going to invite some neighbor kids to Sunday school, had a hand not only in my dad coming to Christ and being the man that he is today, but in me coming to Christ and being the person that I am today. So why are you here? What people have influenced you for Christ? Jesus has called for us to share the message with others. A book that I love is called Into Thin Air. It's a book by a man named John Krakauer. And the premise of the book, or the idea that we read about in that book, is about a climb of Mount Everest. Krakauer, in that book, recounts that climb. One of the parts of the book that's most interesting and also most dramatic was when they were near the summit of the Mount Everest. Some 29,000 feet in the air, about the cruising altitude of an Airbus. At that level, on top of the world, literally on top of the world, the climbers who had gone up Mount Everest experienced a blizzard. So Krakauer writes about this. They were already very hungry. They were already thirsty. They were in need of oxygen. Up at that height, death was right before them. Krakauer, thankfully, that's better. I'm not going to start over, but hopefully you were able to hear me anyways. So Krakauer, some 29,000 feet in the air, experiencing a blizzard, he has a tent, and one of the people that he's climbing with also has a tent. His name is Sam Hutchinson. So these two have a tent. There are others of their team that are roaming around looking for cover. This blizzard is hitting them. The winds are strong. They can hardly see. They can hardly hear. They are freezing cold, tired, hungry, and thirsty, not having much oxygen. Scary situation. Sam Hutchinson, one of the climbers, decides that he is going to go out and try to look for them. He's going to bang pots and pans. He's going to shine a light. He's going to scream at the top of his lungs to try to get these other climbers who are lost at this point. And he's going to ask John Krakauer, who is also in a position where he could go help, if he would go with Hutchinson to look for these climbers. Our text for this morning is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. You may want to open your Bibles up to Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Open your smartphone or whatever the case may be. That's the text we're going to be in this entire message today. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew writes, Matthew 28, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" So this is taking place, the Mount of Galilee. In Matthew's gospel, when things are taking place on mountains, take note. It's very important. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. Think about the Transfiguration. Think about the message that Jesus gave the disciples at the Mount of Olives. God does something in mountains. We see that all throughout Scripture. And so the message that we read here in Matthew 28 is very important. And the setting sort of shines a light on the importance of what is taking place here. Of course, at this point, there's only 11 disciples. One of them, Judas, is already gone. Earlier on, just a chapter before, we read about the disciples fleeing from Jesus and those that were arresting him in fear. But take heart, now the disciples are back at Galilee. They have followed the instructions. They're at Galilee, waiting to hear what Jesus is going to talk to them about. The disciples, we see, struggle in their faith. Sometimes it's like they're on the top of the mountain, ready to do whatever Jesus is asking them to do, but there are other times where it's more of a valley point for them. Whatever the case, they hit a valley, but for whatever reason, they were back at the mountain. And at this point, at Galilee, Jesus is going to give them a message, a very important message. It says there right at the beginning that some of these disciples worshipped him, but some doubted him. What I'd like us to know in that Matthew tells us that some doubted, is the fact that Jesus continues on with the commission, even though we're told that some doubted. Why did they doubt? Was it because of a lack of faith that Jesus actually could resurrect from the dead? That may have been the case. At that point, resurrection wasn't happening just a whole lot. And so maybe they were just blown away by that. Maybe they were still just so disappointed that Jesus wasn't who they believed he should be. Whatever the case, Matthew tells us that some doubted. However, Jesus continues on with the commission, and this is important. Jesus continues on with the commission for all of them, even those that doubted. And what we read about throughout the rest of Scripture is that all of them took part in sharing the gospel with others. Continuing on, verse 18, let's look at this again. Jesus begins, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So the basis of the commission that Jesus gives is that Jesus holds all authority. In a very special way, he now holds authority because he is conquered death. He is God's representation on earth of God's reign, God's desire for all people. Jesus represents the rule of God. He is the King. And when the King of Kings speaks, we listen. He goes on, he says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." This is verse 19. The disciples went. They listened to Jesus when Jesus called them to go. We read about that in the book of Acts. Each one of them powerfully proclaimed the message of Jesus to all those that they came in contact with. Jesus says, "Go to all nations." He is reiterating a call that God has had for his people from the very beginning. Remember when God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He says, I'm going to bless you so that you can bless the people in the entire world. And we see that happening in Jesus' call to the disciples. They are going to go to all nations. One of the songs that we sing regularly is that the gospel is for all. And that is the truth. Every person, every nation, every language, the gospel is for all. It's for our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends. It's for those in Honduras. It's for those in Italy. The gospel is for all. And Jesus says, go into all nations. He says, go and make disciples. These people are disciples. And that's what we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks. A disciple is a learner, is a student. A disciple is not simply an admirer of Jesus, not just a fan of Jesus. A disciple is one who sits at the feet of a rabbi. A disciple is one who strives to imitate that rabbi, to be like that rabbi, to follow that rabbi wherever that man goes. That's what Jesus says. Go and make disciples, not just fans. And like we've already mentioned, he says, go to all nations. Go everywhere, Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's what he says in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. And then he goes on, at the end of verse 19, he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So not only go and make disciples, but Jesus says, go and baptize them. Two important notes about baptism that I'd like to make this morning. The first is that in baptism, a person participates in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And so inherent to the core, really, of discipleship is that we participate in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And when you participate in the cross and resurrection of Jesus, your life is changed forever. That's what Paul, I believe, is trying to get across in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Look at this passage about baptism. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So Paul in Romans 6 says that when you are baptized, you are somehow, some way participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through that participation in those acts, you are living a new life, a new creation life, a life that is different than the life that you once lived, a life that is not oriented in sin and death, but a life that is oriented in eternal life. And when you're living a life oriented in Jesus's life, it will make a difference in how you interact with others, how you relate to God, how you take on this life of discipleship. The first thing is that in baptism, we participate in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. But secondly, and just as important, in baptism, a person is born into a new family. The church becomes a person's first family. Paul's getting that across in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. Look at this passage. Paul writes there, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We live in a highly individualized world. And in some ways that's good because it moves people to a deeper, better work ethic. It helps people to take responsibility for their own actions. But in other ways it's not so good. Depression is on the rise in our country, for instance. There is a lack of community in so many ways. And we probably know people that are lonely, that are hurting, that are broken, and they have nowhere to turn, no family to go to, no friends to share their burdens with. We know people like this. We hurt for people like this. But the truth of the gospel is that when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into a new family. Paul says that we are clothed with Christ. We become children of God. So those of us who are baptized disciples of Jesus have a new family, a family that cries together, a family that lives and laughs together, a family that shares one another's burdens. Sarah and I have talked about this so many times. When we think about especially like big life events. You think about funerals and weddings and things like that. One of the things, and you've probably said this too, how do people do it without the church? You think about the church. You think about the love that is shared. You think about the way in which you can have people to turn to and talk about the issues of life. And so when we're talking about being disciples, we're not talking about this Lone Ranger idea of faith, but we're talking about living this life of discipleship together. As a matter of fact, I would say that life lived as a disciple by yourself really is missing a very important aspect of what it means to be a disciple. Discipleship is done in community. It's done together. Baptism enters us or puts us into that community of faith. Jesus continues on and he says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Many years ago, I was talking to someone that I admire a whole lot. His name is Jim Thomas. Jim is one of those guys that you open his Bible and the pages are like floppy and they're greasy and there's marks everywhere. The dude knows the Bible, the man. That was not a respectful way to say that, but the man knows the Bible inside and out. But I was just so blown away by one of the things that Jim said. He said, every time I study the Bible, I learn something else. This man who has been just a solid pillar in the church. The man that you know reads the Bible continually. Every time he reads the Bible, he learns something new. See, the life of discipleship means that we are a lifelong learner. We don't just have it all figured out and say, okay, great, I'm done, I graduated. When you sign up to be a disciple, you sign up to be a lifelong learner of Jesus. I think about people in my life, not just Jim, but Fred and Denise and Goldie and Randy. I've learned from them in sitting in Bible classes. That's one way that I've learned from them. But more of the learning that has been done has taken place through just simply sharing life together, conversations over coffee, times of praying together. Even on the golf course, some of this has taken place. So learning, I think in this context, it can mean a lecture. It can mean in a classroom. But more, I think that this sort of learning that we're talking about, this idea of teaching, is about just simply walking through life together, showing interest in others. We see that in the book of Acts, the teaching that takes place. I mean, some of it happens in synagogues, of course, but a lot of it just happens on the side of the road. Think about the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The teaching just took place on a road one day. Jesus calls these disciples not only to baptize, not only to make disciples, but he says an aspect of that is teaching them. What are you to teach them? Jesus says, teach them all the things that I have commanded you. If someone is going to teach others about what Jesus has said and done, then that means that the person that is teaching knows what Jesus has said and done. These disciples were a close band of brothers with Jesus. Jesus starts off, his plan for reaching the lost is calling just 12 people to get things started. Jesus shares with them about his understanding of who God is and how the kingdom works. There's a saying that ancient rabbis had, and I think it's an important one in this context. And the blessing is, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And here's what they meant by that. In the learner-rabbi relationship, the learner would learn by sitting at the rabbi's feet. So we've heard that phrase before, sitting at someone's feet. The idea was that the disciple would spend so much time learning from the rabbi that they would know that teaching inside and out. It's as if they were covered in the dust of the rabbi. These 11 that Jesus were talking to, they were covered in the dust of Jesus. They had spent time with Jesus, watching him interact with others, hearing him teach about the way of the kingdom. They were covered in the dust of the rabbi. And so a question I would have for all of us is, are we covered in the dust of the rabbi? Do we know Jesus? Do we know his teachings? Do we know his way of life? You see, as we think about teaching others, it's important that we know the teachings ourselves. Are we covered in the dust of the rabbi? And Jesus finishes this by saying, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus comes onto the scene at the beginning of Matthew, and one of the things that they say about Jesus is that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And we come to the end of Matthew's gospel, and Jesus says, "I am with you." He's God with us. He's the one that is present with us as we think about living out this life and sharing the gospel. And so we're talking about going. We're talking about sharing the message with others. And as we start thinking about sharing the message, a lot of stuff floods our minds. We think, well, I would like to share the message with this person, but I don't want that relationship to become awkward. I mean, that's going to be weird. This person sits in the cubicle next to me, and now I'm talking about Jesus. They're going to think I'm one of those Jesus freaks. I don't know how to even start the conversation. And so we think, man, this is going to be awkward. And we decide, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to share. Or we're afraid that we won't know what to say, right? Well, how do I even talk about this? We're afraid that we don't know the Bible well enough. That might be the issue. And so if I just knew the scriptures better, then I would share with them. I mean, what if they ask me a question about scripture and I have to say, I don't know? So we're afraid sometimes, I believe, to share the gospel. Some of us think, possibly, that we're not good enough. And so we know who Jesus is, but as far as starting to tell other people about Jesus, we don't feel as if we're good representations of who Jesus is. And so maybe because of that, we're afraid to talk to others about Jesus. There could be many reasons why, but here's what I want to say to all of us this morning. Go, even if things get weird, because ultimately they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. Go, even if you are afraid, because I promise you, Jesus isn't afraid, and he said he will be with you always. Go, even if you don't know all the answers, if you know Jesus, you know the answer. So go. Even if you're just downright scared, go. I promise you, Jesus is not scared. He looked at the cross right in the eyes. Jesus, God in the flesh, says that he will be with us as we share the message with others. So go. If you wait till just the constellations and everything line up right to start going, you're never going to go. If you make up excuse after excuse after excuse, what's going to happen? You're going to find some decent excuses, and you're going to just camp out on those excuses. So I would say just go. We're all, I'll just speak for myself, we're all, I am feeble and weak and broken, a sinner. On my own, I can't do this. But we are following one who is powerful and perfect. He cares for me. He cares for you. He cares for others. And this one has promised to be with us. So go. He used Peter. I mean, how many times throughout the Gospels does Peter have his foot in his mouth? Jesus at one point says, "Satan, get behind me," to Peter. Yet he uses Peter. He preaches at Pentecost and at other places. If he can use Peter, he can use me. He can use you. Think about Paul. Paul was one who was striving to kill Christians. He was persecuting Christians. If he can use one who was persecuting Christians to spread the message of Christ, he can use you. The one who wrote this gospel
was a tax collector who was hated by most people in society. He used Matthew. He can use you. That Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, we know about her history, the broken marriages that she had, the infidelity in her life. Yet after Jesus changed her life by giving her that living water, she went back to her community and started telling about people about Jesus. If Jesus can use that Samaritan woman to spread the message of Christ, he can use you. Because it's not about the Samaritan woman. It's not about Paul. It's not about Peter. It's not about Matthew. It's about Jesus working through each one of those people. So the question I have, each lesson in the series on discipleship, we've had a question and a challenge. So the question I have for each of us today is simply this. Who do you know who needs to hear the good news? I believe we all have someone that needs to hear the good news. Reflect on that person. Think about that person. Pray about that person. Ask yourself this question too. And I know this is a negative question, and this kind of, maybe don't beat yourself up over it. Let's put it that way. But reflect on this. Why have I not been going? What have been some of the barriers that have kept me from spreading the message of Jesus? Reflect on those and then pray about those and say, God, remove those excuses. Remove those barriers. I desire to be a disciple who shares the message with others. And here's the challenge. Very simple. This week, tell someone about Jesus. This week, tell someone about Jesus. A friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a family member. For some of us, it might even be a spouse or a child. That's the challenge. Tell someone this week about Jesus. In doing that, I would suggest that you write that person's name down. Keep it before you, because in the busyness of our lives, we'll forget about that person. Write that person's name down. Pray for that person. And then just do it. Just start the conversation one way or another. Ask that God will provide the words for you as you talk with that person. That's the challenge for this week. So back to John Krakauer, his friend Sam Hutchinson said, I am going to go out and I am going to look for those people that are lost right now. Hutchinson was implying that if we didn't go out and look for those people, they would die. So he says to John Krakauer, will you go with me to look for those people that are out roaming around in this mountain, probably going to die if we don't rescue them right now? And Krakauer writes in his book that he was so cold, he was so tired, he was so hungry, he was lacking oxygen so much that he decided to stay in his tent, warm, surviving. He says that Hutchinson went out 6 or 7 times that evening, banging those pots and pans, yelling at the top of his lungs over the wind and the conditions. He didn't find anybody, but Hutchinson tried to rescue those who were lost, while Krakauer stayed comfortable in his tent. The question I have for us, church, as we close up this morning, are we going to stay comfortable in our tents? Are we going to go out seeking those who are lost, sharing the good news of Jesus with those that need it so badly? We desire to be a church that loves one another, that shares each other's burdens. And so here in a moment, Mark's going to lead us in a song. There's anybody here today that needs the prayers of this assembly, we would be honored, blessed really, to pray with you and for you for whatever needs that you have. If there's anybody here this morning who has not yet been baptized into Christ, has not participated in the cross and resurrection of Jesus through baptism, today would be a great day to do that. We would love to witness that and celebrate with you in that decision. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.